You got some good people in your church, right? You are blessed. You believe that, man? You pray that? There's no pain after stopping. Oh, man, I just want to say what an honor and privilege to be in the house this morning. I tell you what, I believe you're spiritual people come to church on Sunday morning. So Jesus comes back today, he must go first. And the rest of us have service on Friday or Saturday, we are not saying we are last time. But I do want to say that I love the way you are family so much. I feel that it's an incredible people of God. And I just want to pause and say, thank you for your yes, sir. Amen. I just want to know why we're in a better position today because of your obedience to God. And I said for the time that our faith pleases God, but our obedience improves God. And we see this throughout scripture, and it tells us that when we show up and our faith turns up, God is pleased. But there's something that shifts when you and I begin to obey God. That's when He starts to move with us. I'm just going to take a moment and say thank you. Say thank you, my friend. Let's give a round of applause. Come on. And my boy Jordan in Jamaica, great friends of ours. And, man, I love you guys. And Judah's role, boy Judah, incredible friends of Chris and I. They took a trip about 2 years ago, and I found it in my heart this morning to remind you, Jordan and Jamaica, that you were God's choice. You weren't your parents' choice, you weren't your church's choice, you were God's choice. And I think many times when we see things happen that are supernatural, we need to remind ourselves that we are God's chosen people. Yet a holy nation separated from this world, we are chosen to do the work of God. So I just want to say, honor you, I love you, bro. I love you, Jamaica, and your family. You take a moment to honor your pastors. Come on. The greatest church in life, your father, living in here. Man. All right, so who was this last name in front of you? My name is Eddie. But it's all that I'm married to my next wife, Issa. She's looking fine on the front row. We'll talk about that later. We celebrate 7 years next month. We're also so grateful in our marriage. And we've got two incredible kids here. Yeah, and earlier on the kids' trip. So please pray for us. We live in a small church. And I'm calling you. We live up on a Saturday night. Who has church on Saturday night, right? Crazy people do. So we live up on Saturday night. And I'm also so grateful. We see. Just people give their lives to Jesus and set a fire for the Lord. So when we sing songs like give us a freshman from heaven. I really sense in my spirit, God's going to freshen here today. So I believe on here by accident, I believe here on the purpose and the mission from the Lord, that God wants to speak to your heart. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor. Come on, touch your neighbor and say, neighbor. God wants to speak to you this morning. Touch out the neighbor, say, our neighbor. I don't know your name. But God wants to see you too. Praise God. Amen. Hey, why don't you take Bibles to me to 1 John 1, and we'll start from verse 5, make our way to verse 7. I'm going to read it for us. I'm just going to get a context of our text for today. And, Jonathan, when I was praying for this, God gave me this word 3 weeks ago, and I thought it was for another church. Yeah, I asked this, I thought it was for that church. And then the Lord shifted me and said, no, not that one. And I was praying for this, there's no, this is for him. So I'm ready to preach it, I'm excited. I'm trying to get it. But I am. So I want to jump in the faith in the flesh. But you look at me, jump, some of you. So I'm going to move it today. So, 1 John 1, 5, 7, 6 says, this is the life-giving message we heard him share. and it's still ringing in our ears. Yeah. We now repeat this word too. God is pure. You will never find out the truth of darkness in them. Verse 6, if we pray that we share life with him, keep walking in the realm of darkness. We're fooling ourselves and not living the truth. But if we keep living in the pure light that surrounds him, we share unbroken fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, continually cleanses us from all sin. For a moment, I'll speak for 7 hours this morning on a topic simply this. Talk is cheap, walking is expensive. Talk is cheap, walking is expensive. We got too many talkers, not our action. You come to church, get your ghost, and do nothing with it. We've got too many obese Christians living today. You guys don't even call that. You come and get fed the word, and do nothing with it. So today I want to address the issue of talk is cheap, walking is expensive. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this moment. Thank you for who you are. God speaks everywhere in this house. Anyway, in our hearts, our hearts are open and receptive to receive the seed from heaven this morning. In Jesus' name. The Lord said,
amen.
Walk, talk is cheap. Walking is expensive. As long as it's darker and darker, the light of God must get brighter and brighter. Because there's a cost to the gospel. And Jesus addresses this to his disciples. What does he say? He says, count the cost. Count the cost when you're following Jesus. Count the cost every day of your life. It's not just a one-day thing, man. It's every day, every day. Lay your life down for the gospel. Lay your life down for the truth. Lay your life down for him. Because the truth of the matter is in the church today, we've got too many flimsy Christians. We've got too many fickle Christians living in today's society. And we've seen this in our scripture as well. The same crowd that welcomed Jesus to Jerusalem, they said, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. That is made up of the same crowd that said, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. But I believe that the church of Jesus Christ today needs to rise up as an army and say, we're not going to turn left, we're not going to turn right, we're going to stand on the truth of the gospel. We need more armies, we need more soldiers in the church of Jesus Christ. I believe in the interpretation of some war seat, you have to be equipped for the work of the ministry. When Jesus was to do something significant, here in my heart, here in our heaven, guess what? He uses us. He uses you. He uses your brokenness. He uses what you're going through. He heals your addictions and you help other people get out of that addiction.
Yeah.
He uses your stories and you keep telling it and telling them of the goodness and the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. There's a cause to this gospel. There's a cost to this gospel. And I think, and I believe that many of us, many churches at large, don't understand the cost of this gospel. Why? Because we've been sold a cheap version of the gospel. Mm-hmm. There's so much grace, so much truth.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much casual Christians living day to day, but not understanding that God wants to do something in you, so he can do something through you. He wants to work through that pain, work through that past, work through that baggage, chip away of that evil and fire, so that he can use your life to touch other people. Come on, share with me, you know what I'm saying? We live in a time where it's easy to talk about things, but we do not want to walk about things. Why? Because walking is expensive. I said last time to our churches, walking is hard, you've got doubt. And the little fellow say, come on, you know, it's time to walk with a toe up ahead. Because walking is expensive. Talk is cheap. A lot of people talk a big game, but they don't walk a big game. Like the New South Wales team, they talk a big game. Or a few keys of shot points. The truth is, you can't walk with God if you can't hear. So I want to echo verse 6 of the script. I want to read it to you. It says, if we pray that we share life with him, but keep walking in the realm of darkness, we're fooling ourselves and not living the truth. Another version says, if we keep walking around the darkness and we say we're living the truth, we're lying. That's dangerous. That we think we're living right. You're lying. Oh, lying. And it's so funny because ladies are getting angry. You wear those shoes, but you know it's a bit too tight. And when you ask about the rest of the people, like, oh. I'm here. If we want, if we pray that we share life with Jesus, with him, but keep walking around the world, we're sort of fooling ourselves and not living the truth. John writes this, and John, in a very straightforward manner, deals with two situations that many of us have ignored today. The first situation is that he calls out a false claim. False claim. We've got too many fact checkers for reality, what is a false claim? You come to the church and go, I'm just looking for some bricks, I'm going to cross rivers and see. No, bro, just sit and allow God to do something in you. Do something in you. We've got too many false claimers. Claiming to walk with God, but living in complete opposite. You claim that you're a Christian because you're constantly behind that person's back. You claim to have a wrong relationship with God, but you're distant from his church. You claim to be in gathering, but all honesty, you've got this pride, you've got this ego inside your heart. You're lying. You're lying to yourself, you're lying to your future, and the most dangerous thing is the lies to your own house. And you tell other people, how are you? How are you good? Don't do a bullshit. But you're lying, brother. You're lying. Things aren't good. You're not lying. Come on, you know, testify to that. No, you can't stop it. The same situation is this. The situation is we must be dealt with the false claimers. It says the true condition. The truth behind what we're saying is here, lying. The false claim and the true condition are both results of one thing, our walk. I can tell you how you are in your life by the way you walk, by the way you're living. You can talk as much as you want, but oh, what's your life? And I think you have the true condition of how you are. Because what I say about this talk is cheap. Walking is expensive. Petrol is expensive. Every step we take this walk with God cannot and should not be handled with a casual mindset. We must be serious with what we are carrying. Our walk has the potential to light up our world and light up this city, light up this church. Because Matthew 5:14, Jesus says to you and I, to his disciples, what you are the light of the world. should all be hidden. So Jesus has a promise from God to every single person here on earth. He said, when you receive Jesus, you receive a lot. But many of us have received a lot of God, but we've given it so much. We've given it because based on our situations, or we've given it because you don't really want to do the gospel. We don't want to, and you don't want to love God too much, just in case the pastor finds out what your condition. Just in case you're able to fully understand, you've got some issues in your life. But when we understand the word of God, when the light comes in, darkness has to come to the surface. Because darkness and light cannot coexist. Darkness and light cannot marry. It does not happen. So when God steps into the creation story, he sees the world as dark and looks up in the void. And what does he do? He says that, let there be light. And the light showed up. I believe that in this season, that if you're in a dark world, let there be light in your marriage. Let there be light in your family. Let there be light in your children. Your children will come to church and say, okay, this seems to be the light of God in this situation. Let there be light in your relationships. Let there be light in your workplace. Let there be light in your community. But Jesus used pills and said to me, the light of wine and wine in Jesus' name. But you got faith to believe that? You got faith to believe that your church can be the light. Come on the hills of the sea that you won't be in. So when people go through issues, they can say, let's go to the house of the Lord. Let's go to this house. Because they have shined the light throughout our city. Oh man, I feel like preaching this morning. Any other step can blow out our candle, make it difficult to shine God's light. Don't focus so much on the distant destination that you stumble over the immediate steps. Many of us want the promise, but you don't want the process. Many of us want that job, but you're not making some training. You want that marriage, but you're still doubting and put off you. Can we be real talk? You want a relationship and you still hold on to that past X that is going to relationship. Don't be so fixated on the destination that you stumble on the next step in front of you. Deal with the step. Deal with what's in front of you. Shine God's light on what's in front of you. God, I may not see what's ahead, but I can see what I'm here. Lord, show me where to walk. Show me the light on the step because I need to get closer and closer to you. Come on, you believe this one. Shout your hand.
Amen.
Our lives are validated by our walk, not by our words.
Yeah.
It's by our actions. No one, anyone who is doing a lot of talking, only a few who are walking. Because as I said before, talk is cheap. Come on, you know any friends that talk a lot? Don't you want one? Okay, we need my three months of months. You have friends in your life, you got that neighbor that talks a lot. They're going to pull up. Oh, okay, you're going to have to do it. Just in case you're sitting next to the lady right now. You're like, oh, man. So today, I'm going to walk the talk. Walk the talk. Paul delivers a very sharp message to the church officers. He exalts them, exalts them, to regard them the walk. It says in Ephesians 5:15, it says this, look carefully with them how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as unwise and goodness, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people, making the very most of the time. Why not each of the treasures? Because the days are evil. Paul writes to the church of Ephesus, and he's warning them. He says, bro, don't worry about anyone else, but just be worried about your own journey. Worry about your own walk. Worry about where you're going. Stay in your lane. Don't worry about anyone else's life. Think of your own life. Get your life right. Align yourself to Jesus. Stop bringing your last problem and give your whole bag of problems. Address your own issues. takes my spirit out of the room. Apostle Paul is showing us how to walk more effectively in such a manner that the times in which we are living is not breaking that meeting with God. Paul says, when we walk right, we will make the very most of the time. I preached this last slide that there's an urgency in our time. Time is not ours. When we go to funerals and we're going to be in the speech, it's like, oh man, if only they had more time. Life is short. Life is too precious just to be saying, oh, well, it's just not bad. It's so sad today that we've got many people living a fake life like they're on island time. It's okay, I'm sorry, I'm not saying that. All I will say is the truth. We're so casual about our friendship. And you're so casual to the point that you keep coming from church to church. Okay, no one's going to talk about that. You're so casual to the truth that, like, you're like, oh, I'm a work in progress. And then when it comes to Jesus, get fixed. Get right with God and keep going. Because your work in progress will take like 7,000 years. We don't have time. We don't have time. There are people that are alive and more yes. There are people that are more yes to follow Jesus. Because the thing about it is, Jamaica and Jordan cannot touch the whole city. But together we can do something special. Together we can reach the city of wide world. Together we can build the kingdom of God. Together we can help people out of their addiction. Together we can do something special and say, hey, thank God that you're here with us. Because right now we can see a destiny in Jesus with your life. And that's what the Church of Jesus Christ should think. Not crazy Christians, but people that rise up and say, I'm upon the army of God. What can I do today? Come on, we're going to be the army of God in the house. Amen. I'm going to go this one. I'll get through some things. So let me give you three thoughts on how we show up and effectively in the start. So all of us is walk with purpose. Walk with purpose. Acts 17, 36 says this. Now when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his ancestors and his body decayed. Is there anything better that can be said about a person at the end of his or her life journey than that he has served the purposes of God? Because the truth of the matter is this, outside of serving God, we actually have no purpose. Outside of your faith life, there is really no purpose in life. Because when you have Jesus, you've got purpose in life. You can fulfill your potential on earth. Amen? So if we're not living in the purpose of God, we're living in darkness. We're not living in the light of God, we're living in darkness. We cannot be doing our own thing and still be walking in the light, which is a cost to walking in the light. Amen? Because you can't just say, I'm at church. I'm at church in life. There has to be a cost of surrender. There has to be a cost of laying down the life, picking up the cross and following Jesus. I said this last time to our church, it's like, because the Bible does not say, Jesus did not say, pick up your cross and talk with me. He said, pick up your cross and follow me. Because talk is cheap. Walking is expensive. The reason why your family is still in the same old life, in the same old situation, is because you don't want to walk it. You're just talking about counseling, but you're living it. You catch what I'm saying? Because we want the results. It's like you want the benefits of following Jesus, but you want to still gather in sin. You want the benefits of the light, but you want to still live in darkness. You want the benefits of great faith in you. repeatedly, but you only come once in 6 months. Mm-hmm. It does not work like that. Because if that was true, then my gym membership would tell me I was going to subscribe for them. I'm lying. There's no bad place to be living a life without purpose. Yeah. A lot of the story says this, where purposes are unknown, abuse is inevitable.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll say that again. Where purpose is unknown, abuse is inevitable. Because God created me for a purpose and on purpose. When he considered the world, his sovereignty saw a place where you and I, and I was alive to make an impact. He knew when he formed you. He knew exactly what he was doing when he was making you and crafting you. You are his masterpiece. You are spiritually and wonderfully made. But the culture of today has influenced the word of today, and now they're saying, "Are you sure that you are? Are you sure that you are blessed? Are you sure you're worthy? Are you sure you're worthy?" The world has shifted our views. But the reason why it shifted your foundation, my foundation, and for many people, is because we have gained a solid foundation in his word. So no matter what the world says, it's like, no, because I know what God says about me. I know who I am and who I belong to and who I am, because I am in his word. You catch that sense of this one thing. Because many of us are doubting and in this identity crisis because you don't know who you are. So when you walk in the purpose, you actually walk in the way. But God formed you with purpose and potential. Some people are walking in the dark because they don't know their purpose. God wants to awaken you and I to the truth that you are not an afterthought. You are not unpaid. He weren't paid by God. You are not here by accident. He were not an accident. God knew you before you were mother. You were from home. You know what I say, sir? And it's beautiful to know now. So when you walk in community, when you walk here on earth, you know who you are. Why? Because you know who made you, God.
Yes.
Oh, Lord God. Ephesians 1:11 says, it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ, and what I hope so, he had his eyes on us, had his eyes on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose. He is working out everything and everyone. He knows you. He wants you to walk in. Solomon says this, walk with accuracy. Walk with accuracy. Ephesians 2:10 says this, we are God's own handiwork. His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for the new, that we may do those good works which God predestined back beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them. Living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. God created us with so much position and accuracy. God does not miss. God has no default on his basis. He knew. It's amazing. So there's almost 8 million people in the world that's already gone to God has the same DNA, God has the same DNA, there's only one you. You're uniquely made. He made so much accuracy, with so much in the detail about how he was formed you. And at the same time, he knew that you were broken that pain. He knew that you were broken that situation. But that's why we rely on Jesus. That's why we rely on his truth. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He knew before time that you'd go through that struggle, my friend. He knew before time that those people will hurt you. He knew before time that you'll be dealing with that addiction. But he said, come all to me. Come to me, don't you think you'll be weary, and I'll give you rest. He's calling you to come to him and walk in As long as you remember previous philosophies that they really are, you can constantly be chasing the way of accomplishing nothing. Accuracy. Isn't it amazing that when we serve God that is accurate? He's perfect. He does not miss. He does not make mistakes. That's not who my God is. That's not who this Jesus is. When they were crucified, they were like, oh, this is the insubordinate, it's all about the man. God does not miss. He's accurate in what he was doing. He knew what he was doing. So in this time for you and I, it's amazing because he welcomed sinners like you and I to his perfect plan, to his perfect love, to his perfect grace, and his perfect truth. And he welcomed you and I and all our brokenness, all our pain and hurt. He said, come to me and we'll get it right. We'll get it right here. And the many voices of witnesses, it's the cross of Jesus Christ. Walk with accuracy. There's nothing more frustrating in this world than knowing people that are not accurate. Maybe you see that email that makes no sense. Okay, maybe it doesn't make sense. Maybe someone that just told you about the being usual. No, okay. Took a random so you understand accuracy. Maybe you see something that. That he knows it should be perfect, but it's like right off of what God is doing. And I think many times that God wants us to walk accurate, walking true, walking right. Many of us want to walk big, but God wants to walk right. You want the glamorous, you want things to happen big, you want an Instagram post some big things, but you want Instagram to the accurate things. People, oh man, I feel so sick. You want Instagram big numbers, but you want Instagram to go read the Bible. You understand what I'm trying to say? Accurate things of the Lord. And you see this throughout culture today. People are so flimsy that they don't have a difference to the left and right anymore. But I believe that you and I are considered accurate. And point people to the accurate truth of Jesus. So it's your responsibility. It's my responsibility to tell people about the accurate truth of Jesus Christ. And don't wait for living right. Don't live. Don't right. Look up. Look up to Jesus. The perfect one. The one that makes sense when things don't make sense. The one that has peace that surpasses all your understanding. The one that makes you, the one that perfects our salvation is Him, it's Jesus. Therefore, we cause work accuracy to your life. Only Jesus will. Jesus will align all the brokenness and become accurate. It's the only way to do it. How many of you say amen? Jeremiah 1:5 says, I knew you before I formed you. In your mother's womb, before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. Accuracy. Walk in accuracy. Walk with Jesus. Let's summarize. Walk in purpose. Walk in accuracy. Third point is this: walk in wisdom. Be wise and consider. Proverbs 13:20 says this verse, if you want to grow in wisdom, spend time with the wise. Walk with the wicked and you'll see the truth become just like them. Another scripture says this, you hang out with fools, you'll become a fool. Hang out with wise people, you'll become wise. They said they showed me the five friends and I'm so glad I've been considering the future. There's something about hanging out, being around the community, being around wise people, the right people in your life, and having points to your destiny. Amen. Now, let me ask you this question. Is there anyone wiser than the Lord Himself? Is anyone wiser than Jesus? If the answer is no, then why don't you walk with him? Why don't you walk with the wisest person in the world? Why don't you spend time with him and listen? Why don't you speak to the Father and say, "God, right now I'm stupid, but Lord, I know you're not listening correctly. Give me wisdom to guide my family. Give me wisdom to build this church. Give me wisdom, God, to reach our community. Give me wisdom, God, to love my kids. Give me wisdom, God, to grow my marriage. Give me wisdom, God, to build my business. Give me wisdom, God, to reach our marriage. Give me wisdom, God, to touch the untouched. Give me wisdom, God, to reach the poor corners of my community. God, give me wisdom." And that all should be our prayer sometimes.
Amen.
Is that you say you live with wisdom and you got wisdom, but God is so far from you. Because wisdom is God. And God is wisdom. But we got to walk with God. Genesis 5:4 says, "This Enoch walked with God. And he was not for God." So in Genesis 6:5 says, "Noah was a righteous man, blameless in the generation." Noah walked with God. The apostle says in Galatians 5:16, "But I say walk by the Spirit, and you will not verify the desires of the flesh." Notice the word Spirit as a capital S. This means that you not only walk with God, but his Spirit resides in you. There is something powerful when you walk with God. Because guess what? When you walk with God, God looks with you. So when the prophet James says those words, "Draw unto him and he will draw unto you," what he was trying to say is that God is itching to walk with you. God is just waiting to walk with you. But guess what? He wants you to take the first step. So that's what James says, "Draw unto him. And then he will draw us to you." You catch that? And that should be an everyday practice for you and I. If we want to be separated and set apart from this world, we are in this world and not of this world. And if we're trying to be that, we need to draw close to Jesus every single day. We draw Jesus, he draws to you. We draw Jesus, he draws to you. Isn't it amazing that he's asking us to take crazy wild strides? He just said, just take a step. Read the word, pick up the Bible, join to me. But in here, our parents broke in this middle of a new come to Jesus. Something of the brokenness has to go. Because I've never set the light in the dark in one place. So as you join to Jesus, something chips away. You come to Jesus, that addiction breaks. Jesus, that ego has to go. Depression and anxiety must go. Because it can't exist in the presence of God. And Moses knew this. And he stands there. He says, "God," he talks to the very voice. And then God says to him, "Moses, take off your shoes. You are standing on holy ground." Now to me, I'm thinking, shoes? What does that mean? If we fully understand passages of scripture, he said, take off what has hurt you. Take off the baggage. Take off the pain. The things that people have said. Take off what is hanging on you. And give it to me. Take off that mindset of the we judging people. Take off that mindset of the we thinking that, "Oh, I know better." No. We know. We are just groups of people, but we are the greatest person in the world is Jesus. In true honest context, we actually know nothing. Because we need Jesus. We do. It doesn't matter how long we've been in the game. He's still in Jesus.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. Doesn't matter how much you know this word, he's still in Jesus.
Yeah.
Trust him. You can go to say, smile will come with some problems. You need Jesus in the morning, you need Jesus at lunch, you need Jesus at that time, you need Jesus when things are good, and you need Jesus healed because of all that I had. Me and Jesus were things of God in your life. Me and Jesus were things I found in very deep your life. Me and Jesus were in the power of community. Me and Jesus were in the power of community. We need Jesus when we walk into the outside. We need Jesus when we walk into the inside. We need Jesus every single step of the way. Because walk is cheap, man. Walking is expensive. We need more walkers in the house. We got too much of this. We got too much of this happening. We don't have enough people walking. Why? Because there's a cost to your walk. There's a cost to your walk. Maybe what's the cost? Hey, that's a great sermon, right? What's the cost of all this? It's everything. It's your life. Even the bathrooms in your life. That's all it costs. Jesus is going to die for faith. He died for that real need. He died for every heavenly father, he died for every family he had, he died for that. It's only silly. He's one of the victories. So why don't you hold on to it? Holding is cheap. Walking is expensive. God wants to pay the cost of it. You're right. Like something. God wants to pay for it. You know that, you know? Lord, a church with the Holy Spirit. Lord, break the service, Lord, break peace, heaven in our life. Lord, we'll break joy, we'll break peace, we'll break in our life. There's a cost to this. There's a cost to this gospel. There's a cost to following Jesus. You have the new strength. You have the new strength in your lives. But it's all good because I'm going to see it in heaven. Because that's what the, that should be more concerned for you than your other. Because when you stand before the Father, he's going to say, oh man, what that person is. He's going to go, what did you do? What did you do? I don't talk about the God, I don't talk about the evil. What did you do? Because if let's be honest, you've got two talking Christians, not a fourth Christian. But in this generation, on the second half of 2023, Jesus wants to raise some walkers in the house. Can you believe it, amen? Come on, 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 what a waste of life and the gifts of heaven is getting to me, apart from that little memory. What a waste of 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. You get to heaven. So you get to heaven and you say, apart from that little memory. Because even Jesus knew that talk was cheap. Walking is expensive. Can I say this? He walked in Calvary for you. He didn't just talk about Calvary. He walked in Calvary for you. He didn't pick up the cross and carry it to Calvary. So what did you and I go that's it if we can to ourselves? You and I, Jesus says, pick up the cross and follow me. Pick up the cross and follow me. Hey, Nina, I know where you are. We're here right now. We're sitting in the house and waiting for God. Pick up your cross. Follow him. I'm grateful we're here today, on site. God wants to submit your life. Pay your debt. Pick up your cross. Follow him. We need to walk in the church. I believe in God. We need to walk here in one. Too much talk on such a year in our life, we need to keep walking. And I thank God for your pastors because they love my new before they have my life. This is it, my love, I'll be lucky. If you and I need to partner with the heart of your pastors, let's walk this out together. Let's live it out together. Let's give him permission that God has bestowed on us on the cross of the Lamb. Let's walk it together. Because talk is cheap. Walking is expensive. Why is it expensive? Because as you walk, it hurts. As you walk, you start to limp. As you walk, things get heavy. Feels like you're dragging your legs. But Jesus never promised that it's going to be easy. Jesus never promised that that walking will be easy. This is counter force. Counter force in salvation. Because you and I, God wants to use to reach people, the lost, the untouched, the hurt, the broken. He wants to use your right to do this. Pick up your cross. Follow him. You're not just a sinner in this man. You're more than that. You're just occupying a seat. You're more than that. You've got to start walking. You've got to walk. We pray. We read his word. We put in action. We love the people. We invite them to community. We invite them. We love them when they're out. We preach the truth. We show them the truth. We show them Jesus. That's how we walk. That's how we walk. Only to count the cost. I don't know where we are right now in your faith, children. We go walk with Jesus. But we are honoring something from him to remind you what he was telling you today. Start walking. Start walking. Quit preaching, start walking. Quit telling other people off and start walking with God yourself. Stop encouraging others to go to the Bible. We have to go to the Bible. Start walking yourself. Be more witness in the church. Be more witness in the Bible. So, for a moment, if that's you here this morning, you say, "Lord, excuse me. I've been lazy. I've been self-isolated." I'll say it really quickly. Many of us confuse grace with laziness. You're like, where is he called rest? I'm going to lose you, lazy. Get up, start walking again. Get up, start walking again. Put you to that as an excuse. I'm just not receiving that. Get up, start walking again. Get up, start walking again. God wants to use your life. Get up, start walking again. God wants to use your sin. Get up, start walking again. God wants to use your word. You're just sitting there being lazy. Get up, start walking again. Because when we understand rest is not sitting down for nothing. Rest is still being pursuing God and His truth. That's what rest is. You pursue Jesus. Get up. Pick up your cross. Father, now I'm leaving my heart to people this morning. And the old man lost the rest and closed your eyes and lay your head. If you're here this morning, let's be real and honest with God. If that's you, say, hey, that's me. I've been sinning, I've been talking a lot, I've done nothing. If that's you, you want a fresh touch from God to revitalize that fire that came in you. If that's you, I come to you, I come to the front. Only lay hands on you and pray for you in Jesus' name. I would love to restore that fire once again. We want to give that fire once again. Leader, we want to give God once again. Come on, let's not just burn out, let's burn on for Peter and God. Before we come to the level of Jesus, more people than one another. There's almost 20,000 people here in your city. Come on, let's share it with people. For God wants to reach those people, guess what, through you and I. So that's you, I have a dream. Let's look at the top of my head and put Jesus' name. One, Jesus loves you. Two, he's four in my picture. Three, you actually come up to the city, come to the one out, and then Jesus. That's you, go right up to it. Love you, brother. Go right up to it, come to the place of God. And that's you, go rest with God no more. Go rest with God no more. Come to the front, receive your sin. Receive your restoration. Receive your rest in the name of Jesus. You need it, God wants to use your life. So receive from God in the name of Jesus. Come on, come on, hold your hand around the cross of God. How great is the sea. breath. How great is our God? It's our God. Look at what we see about people this morning. See, baby. See how great is our God? How great is our God? It's our God. Sing with me. How great is our God? Thank you.